Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I am an endocrine pharmacist and CDCES at the Cleveland Clinic.
Hi, my name is Natalie Bellini. I am an endocrine nurse practitioner and the Diabetes Director of Technology, actually, at University Hospitals in Cleveland, Ohio. And we're really excited today because a new study has just been published on tirzepatide compared with semaglutide for the treatment of obesity. So let me set the stage for you as we read this new drop early on a Sunday, right? So background, tirzepatide and semaglutide are both medicines that are used for obesity. The tirzepatide brand name is Zepbound. Semaglutide's brand name is Wegovy. So let's talk about this study and where this study and the results come from. In this phase 3B open-labeled control trial, adults with obesity, but not diabetes. So you need to keep that in mind, and we'll talk about why. We're randomly assigned 1-to-1 ratio to receive, ready for this, the maximum tolerated dose of semaglutide or tirzepatide. So the tirzepatide dose was 10 or 15 milligrams, or the maximum dose of semaglutide of 1.7 or 2.4 once weekly for 72 weeks. So this was a super long trial compared to a lot of things that we look at. The primary endpoint was the percent change in weight from baseline to week 72. But there were several secondary, very interesting key and other key endpoints. Weight reduction of at least 10%, weight reduction of 15%, 20%, and as high as 25% weight reduction, but also a change in waist circumference from baseline to week 72. So, Diana, that's our background. Tell us about the results.
Yeah, well, first of all, before I even get into the results, I have to say it's bold going head-to-head with a competitor agent, right? So, I mean, tirzepatide going head-to-head with semaglutide. This, yeah, though, is not actually the first time that has happened. So SURPASS-2 is actually also semaglutide versus tirzepatide. It's just that that was done in people with type 2 diabetes. And one of the critiques of that trial is that they only use semaglutide up to 1 milligram. Compared to going up to 15 milligrams of tirzepatide. So this is like the real deal here, right? Finding out, all right, how do they match compared to each other? So with that setting the stage, tirzepatide knocked it out of the park. So out of 751 participants, the average weight loss at 72 weeks was 20.2% with tirzepatide of a body weight, compared to 13.7% with semaglutide. And then when they looked at some of these other endpoints, so like the percentage of people that lost, I'll just go straight to 25% of their body weight, right? So 31.6% in the tirzepatide group versus 16.1% in the semaglutide group. When we go on the other spectrum, 10% body weight loss, it was 81.6% with tirzepatide compared to 60.5% with semaglutide. And then they also looked at the waist circumference too, and there was 18.4 centimeter loss in waist circumference compared to 13 centimeters with semaglutide. So really across the board, tirzepatide beat out semaglutide.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think that we have to look at this a couple of different ways. We know that this dual GIP-GLP-1 has two different mechanisms of action. So that's probably part of the reason why we're seeing what we're seeing in the treatment of obesity. And then the other thing that I think that we always need to remember is we still don't want one agent, because we have plenty of people that tolerate one but don't tolerate the other. And I mean that like they can't leave the house because of GI side effects, right? So some people have GI side effects on one product and then the other isn't. Some people have coverage on one and then there isn't. And so even though we've found that across the board there is a higher reduction in weight at 10%, 15%, 20%, and 25%, I still, as a clinician, go back and forth with which product I'm using depending on what's going on, right? So That's number one. Number two, there has been some data for things like kidney function preservation, right? That Ozempic has. So Ozempic released a study that said, look, we are slowing down renal protection. It's called the FLOW study, right? We're slowing down that renal decline, which is super important. Mounjaro doesn't have that right now. Do I use or Zepbound? Like, how am I going to go back and forth? Where last year we had a readout on tirzepatide with sleep apnea. So I think sometimes as a clinician, it's like, well, I can use this, but not this. I can do this, but not that. With obesity, you know, when we're treating obesity, we want the highest, weight loss we can in the big picture if I close my eyes. But I think sometimes we still might choose one drug over the other based on other factors that might not present when we're talking about it as an abstract that we got on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I also want to highlight, you know, there was another secondary endpoint of 30% weight loss, which is like, that is a lot of weight loss.
Right.
19.7, almost 20% of people on tirzepatide had that 30% weight loss. And that was compared to 6.9% in the semaglutide group. So that's pretty...
It's a strong, strong weight loss drug. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then let me ask you. So, Diana, were there any interesting side effects you want to talk about? Like, let's do that.
Yeah. So side effect wise, you know, it's what we would expect in terms of these GI side effects, right? And those were pretty similar between groups. You didn't see any huge differences. You know, you expect there was a lot of nausea. There was some constipation, some diarrhea. Interestingly, the constipation and diarrhea was very similar. Usually in a lot of trials, we see a little bit more diarrhea than constipation. But one of the things that stands out to me is this injection site reactions. So this actually occurred in 8.6% of the tirzepatide treated participants compared to 0.3% with semaglutide. So it was only one case of an injection site reaction in semaglutide. So this surprised me a bit. So I did a little bit of digging, and I was looking back at the SURPASS-2 trial, which SURPASS-2 also showed a little bit more of injection site reactions with tirzepatide versus semaglutide. Not as much of a difference as this trial, but there was still a difference. So then I went to their package inserts to see what does it show. And sure enough, the rates are much higher with tirzepatide versus semaglutide. So I was very surprised by this. And Natalie, I'm curious your thoughts. And in practice, if you're hearing more patients on tirzepatide complain of injection site reactions.
It's so interesting because you and I were kind of going back and forth about this before we started this recording. No, I mean, it's interesting. And I guess I haven't been asking, hey, are you having reactions to your sites? And usually, you know, you and I do a lot of diabetes and technology, and people are saying, look, I'm getting this rash from my pod or my pump or my CGM or my whatever. And they want to show us and they take pictures. I have not had complaints about injection site reactions. So I'm shocked that it's as high as 8%. And I would love to see what those actually looked like. Were they complaining of, you know, itchiness? Was it red? Was it tender? I'm curious as to what that was actually reported as.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is not something that I hear from my patients. I have not noticed a difference of people taking your drug and saying one has more injection site reactions than another. I'm kind of wondering, because these are clinical trials, they're asking participants about everything. And if you give an injection, naturally, like you can feel something, like you could experience a little bit of redness. And so it may just make them a little more hyper aware and more likely to report it. But that is interesting. Like, it got me thinking, is it based on the needle size? Is it just the molecule itself? Like, tirzepatide's based on a GIP backbone. Is that just more sensitive on the skin? Like, it's just, I was really surprised by that.
I was too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll have to dig a little deeper. We're going to have to start asking a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Just to see what we get. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. But it definitely, I would say, not leading to people discontinuing the drug because of that. And also in this trial, discontinuation rates related to GI side effects were very low in both groups. I do want to go back to something you said earlier about the kind of these other benefits and these other indications. So I would say, like, we can't dispute this evidence. Like, tirzepatide really has superior weight loss. I mean, it does. But That being said, semaglutide specifically has the data in kidney disease that was studied in people with type 2 diabetes. And then also the fact that in the SELECT trial, it has that cardiovascular outcome data. And I think we're all hoping, we're all rooting for tirzepatide to show that data. But honestly, until it actually shows that data and we have a clinical trial that reports out on it, and we know that, we cannot jump.
Right. And we shouldn't be, because the challenge is that, what if it doesn't? What if something happens and it doesn't? And we've been using the wrong drug for someone who we really need cardiovascular protection with, right? So I agree with you. We need to, you know, we need to trust the science. And the science says that the tirzepatide data for cardiovascular risk reduction isn't been reported out yet. So, you know, here we are, and we need to wait. And we kind of need to say, you know, I mean, I can tell you I've had more people asking for sleep studies because they want to get Mounjaro for or a Zepbound for sleep, right? For sleep apnea. So it's going to go both ways, right? It'll be interesting to talk to our counterparts, like in nephrology, and to see where they are with the flow study. Are you encouraging specifically, you know, semaglutide for kidney protection? I need to start looking at the charts to see, or if I had someone on Mounjaro that starts to develop kidney disease, should we be switching them? Right? They start to develop protein in their urine, or their GFR is slowly dropping. Should I be switching? And, you know, those are the clinical questions that are going to develop over time. And then we're going to need to compare answers with all the clinicians that we work with so that we're all doing the right thing.
Right. Definitely. Well, this is very exciting data. This has been a great discussion. That wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.
Thanks, everyone.